faces to you, to you. 'Cause it's all for you, it's all to you, it's all for you, yeah. It's all to you, it's all for you, it's all to you. 'Cause it's all through you, yeah. Higher you take me, yeah.
Sees more glory for you.
Everything I am in
for you.
And the more you bless me,
the more you bless me.
Oh,
sees more praises to you.
I gotta give it all
to you.
The higher you take,
the higher you take me,
yeah. And the more you bless,
the more you bless me,
it just means
more praises to you.
All the praise goes
to you.
The higher you take
the higher
me,
you take me,
means
more glory for you.
Come on, if you really mean it, say
for you.
Hey, the more you bless,
the more you bless me,
it just means
more praises to you.
Hey, 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 'cause it's all for you.
It's all for you.
It's all to you.
It's all to you.
It's all for you. Of my life always.
I'll never take your glory. I'll never take your praise.
You are
the focus. You're the center of my life always.
I'll never take your glory.
You are the focus. You're the center of my life.
I'll never take your
praise.
I'll never take your
power.
You are the focus.
You're the center of my life.
I'll never.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for another opportunity to lift up the high and holy, magnificent name of Jesus Christ on today. We thank you, Lord, that you're more than a name, but a person to be known and experienced, to be had, one we can walk with on a daily basis, one we can know in a face-to-face relationship. We thank you for the reality of Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you are moving on our hearts and bringing us to an awareness of your presence, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you that you're already large and in charge. You're already in the midst, Lord God. We don't have to try to make it seem like you're in the midst. We don't have to beg and plead and try to conjure you up, because you are already here. Your word declares, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. Lord, we know that everybody that is part of the gathering is not there in heart, Lord God, but all you need is two in agreement, Lord God, two or three or more. And Lord, you are moving in the agreement of the two that are in agreement, or the three or the more, however many, Lord God. We're not caught up in numbers, we're not caught up in appearance, but we look for the presence of God and the truth of God to flow. Hallelujah. Because your word says man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So Lord, we know that your word comes forth through vessels. We know that you speak through the preachers, Lord God, and that we come with a ready heart and an ear to hear. Lord, I pray right now for those listening. I pray right now for safety on this holiday season, Lord God, and that we will still be alert and aware, Lord God, because the enemy doesn't take days off. So we just pray right now, Father God. I lift up a petition before you that you will protect our families, Lord God, particularly the youth, oh God, where the enemy will plot to destroy the young people. Lord, I pray right now that your hand of protection will rest and abide upon them everywhere they go, Lord God, that you will intervene and that you will keep them, Lord God. Oh God, this week, Lord, I just pray right now, whatever the enemy had planned, Lord, you would cut it off, and you would show us in the spirit, and we would pray it down, Lord God, and we would pray the victory over it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, I pray against illness. I pray against traffic accidents. I pray against confusion and calamity and destruction of every sort and every kind. Oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Your blood covers us, and it covers our loved ones on today, Lord God. We bind up the curses of the enemy. He has no authority to curse what God has blessed. So, Lord, I speak a blessing upon the children of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ right now. Yes and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Move upon me as I begin to minister in word on today, Lord God. You said man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? Lord God, I thank you that you have sent me and you've delivered a word to me that I must deliver to those that you will bring to this platform, Lord God. But at the end of the day, it is all that you may get the glory. Nobody gets the glory but Jesus. It is all about him. Hallelujah. So if you're hearing the sound of my voice, I ask you, you may not be heard on the line. We may have your lines muted, but heaven hears you. Your line may be muted, but heaven hears you in the spirit realm. Your praise, if you lift up a praise for a few moments and just tell God, thank you, bless the name of Jesus, I dare you to just lift your praises into the heavens and tell God, thank you. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him how much you love him. Jesus, we love you. We adore you. There's nobody like you. You are beyond the figment of a man's imagination. You are beyond what we can conjure up and think up. You are more than just a religious ceremony or religious thought or religious ideology, but you are real and you are to be known. You show up in our life. You manifest yourself in various ways in our life, and we thank you, Lord God. Even in the trials and the troubles, Lord God, we still know that your word declares, according to Psalms chapter 46, it says that you are a very present help in the time of trouble. So, Lord God, there's not a time in our life that we can escape your presence. In our worstest times, you are there. So we thank you. And we say, Jesus, you show up, you do the miraculous, you heal, you cause demons to flee, you cause bodies to be healed, and you cause manifestation of miracles and blessings. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. We honor your presence on today. Hallelujah, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, family, thank you for calling in and listening once again. Those that are listening by way of the radio app, Thank you for getting that app. Share that information with friends. Share this network with friends, family, coworkers, whoever. To get the app is free. It's streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's some type of broadcast going on. Then there's different types of Christian music. So support this work. The Now Radio for You app. And I believe he'll come in later on at the end of this broadcast and put the plug in for that. But those that are listening that way, you don't have to dial any number. You don't have to dial any codes to get in. You just turn the app on and it's playing live streaming. So you can also go and get these messages on our archives. But to God be the praise. Hallelujah. But thank you all for listening in and for supporting those who do support. May God reward you. This is not about any person but Jesus. It's not about the messenger. It's not about the founder. It's not about the laborers. It's about Jesus getting the glory. We're in the last days. We're in the time where he said that the gospel must go forth. So we have to set our focus on what we do is for the gospel. And what we must do, we have to make sure all our actions are in line, that we do nothing to harm the gospel, because God will hold us accountable. It's not about what we think, what we desire, what we want to do. It's about God's program. And it's about what God wants said and what God wants done, what he wants manifested. It's all about God in the person of Jesus Christ. We lift his name and we continue to hold the name up, because a lot of people are falling away. A lot of people are falling into all these different doctrines. And so we constantly stand in Jesus' name, not because we're unsure or insecure, but we're reminding the atmosphere around us, the darkness around us, that, hey, we're Jesus' children. We Jesus people, we are serving the true and living God. As we get closer to the end, you're going to need to depend more and more on the name of Jesus. And you're going to have to know him in such a way that when you call him, he says, here I am. And he manifests to the point not only you know his presence, but your enemies recognize your God is with you. We're going to have that kind of power in this last and evil day, because as time progresses, Christians are going to suffer a certain level of persecution as the world begins to become one. I didn't mean to get into anything prophetic. I'm going to try to not get into that right now, but I need to get into the teaching that needs to be continued. But y'all know how it goes. We're going to flow with the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, have your way. I know nothing. You know all things. Speak through me. Talk to the needs on the line, Father God. Reveal the needs on the line and speak through me. And I'll get out of the way. If you don't give a word, I won't give a word. But Father God, we trust in you. Hallelujah. It's not about anybody but Christ. Hallelujah. Nobody died on that cross for our sins but Jesus. We got to remember Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. We got to remember the basics of the gospel. Over 2,000 years ago, God sent his only begotten son in the form of a man. He born of a virgin. He lived a life, sinless life. He did never commit sin. And the people envied him because he did good works for God. They envied him, and they tried to destroy him, turned him over to the authorities, and they killed him on a cross and crucified him. This is what we believe. And he died, but he did not just die because they killed him, but he laid his life down. And he said, I give my life as a ransom for many. So he gave his life to buy back all the sinners of the world that could not approach a holy God. Because God is so pure, so righteous, that, and we're so filthy and sinful. It don't take but a little sin to make you filthy. One act is enough that God says you deserve hell. Adam sinned one time and made everybody that came after him sinners. He ate one fruit that God told him not to eat, and now every man born is born a sinner. And we got to be born again. But we're born again through faith in what God's Son has done. Hung on that cross, brutally beaten and bruised, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, and they stuck a spear in his side or a sword in his side and cut him open, and blood and water fell out. But that was for your salvation. They drilled nails through his hands and through his feet to hang him to that cross. And he died a bloody, gory death for you, for me. We don't have time to be petty. We got to remember the blood. We got to remember what it cost God. He was willing to go through with it. Hallelujah. So, but he didn't stay dead. So he resurrected after 3 days with all power in his hands. And he says, this is the thing that I come to the earth for. I bring life. I come to bring life. He brings life and he establishes his church. And he pours out his spirit upon his church first. But what I love about God is he's so good. He says, I'm in the last days. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He didn't discriminate. He didn't say upon all Israel and Jerusalem. He didn't say all Americans. He didn't say the French man and the Japanese man. He said all flesh. So people talking about folks dying without knowing the gospel, or God didn't give them a chance, and asking stupid questions to make you doubt your faith. Well, what about those that never heard? Well, God said he's going to pour his spirit on everybody. So everybody going to have an encounter with God before they die. Some way, somehow, God is responsible for every soul, and he says, I'm going to make myself known to them. But our job is to preach what he tells us to preach. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. Because in the preaching of the cross, in the preaching of the covenant, in the preaching of Jesus Christ, then we find that God will pour out his spirit as they believe. Hallelujah. We got to begin to not be petty. We got to support kingdom. We're not about supporting the man, but supporting the kingdom that God places within man. Hallelujah. So we got to bring the unbelievers on the line. We got to take the word to the streets. We got to bring people. Some folks ain't going to the church, but we can take the church to them. So we got to be kingdom-minded in this season, that they will hear and that God will do what he said he was going to do. He's going to pour out his spirit whether they hear or not, but he has preachers and the word for a reason. This is all by God's specific design. But anyways, let me get out of that. Let me get into the message, the actual teaching. Hallelujah. On last week, in the week before, I began to teach on the covenant. And the reason for that is because the Lord spoke something to me. And he said that, you know, let the people know that my salvation is not complicated unless they want it to be. So what happens is a lot of people don't understand salvation. And it's very simple. You believe that Christ died for your sins, that Jesus' blood is enough to make you holy in the presence of a holy God that says, I can't stand sin and I will punish sin. I will punish all sin, but I need something to stand before me in place of sin. And the only thing that God can look at to make him not look at your sins is the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can cover your sins is the blood of Jesus, not your right doing, your righteousness, your covering of yourself and all that. Not no political affiliation, no religious organization. I don't care if your grandmama is a prayer warrior. I don't care if your granddaddy is a bishop. I don't care who you connected to. I don't care what you think you know of the scriptures. Do you believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood for you? Are you a genuine believer? And if you are, then he's saying, then this is my salvation unto you. Hallelujah. And once you're saved, then there's a lifestyle expectancy. And this is where a lot of people in the 21st century are off. They don't understand this covenant. So I'm going to break it down to you. Hallelujah. So I'm going to start with the first scripture. This is my job to bring this teaching about. This is my job to bring this teaching about. Before I go into the scriptures on the speaking about the covenant, I want to deal with something. We have to be very mindful in this season that God's grace is how we're saved. We're saved because of his grace. It's his grace. It's not by how good any of us are, how anointed we are, how we have anything in our own merit, but grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It's favor. See, when man does you a favor, usually he's going to come back later and ask you for a favor when man does it. Or he's going to do it because something about you he feels he can get an advantage about. But God's favor and God's grace is his favor. You didn't do anything to deserve and you can't ever earn it. It's just because he's good. It's all because of him. It's because we were terrible sinners without any hope. Lost, doomed. There's no reason that God has to forgive us for nothing. He can let us die as sinners, and we could say he's unfair through all of eternity. It wouldn't change him one bit because he's God. And we could say, well, God, I didn't ask to be here. I didn't have nothing to do with what Adam did in the garden. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You can say all that, but it's his goodness that he says, I already know this, and I'm going to give you a chance, but you're still a sinner. You're still born a sinner, and you got to be born again a saint. Hallelujah. Watch this. So God graces his goodness, his grace, his grace. Oftentimes we hear the gospel preached as the gospel of grace. Or we hear, you know, that Jesus gave us grace. We always hear grace, 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 grace. And that's a beautiful, powerful, amazing thing. It's called amazing grace for a reason. It is so amazing. The grace of God is so great. I'm going to talk about his grace on today, but I got to get into some other things as well. But his grace is so powerful that It doesn't matter if you thought you was the best human being on planet Earth, you still are considered a sinner in the eyes of God until you become born again as a son of God or as a saint. You still considered a sinner. I don't care if you just did one little thing wrong and everybody else around you was 10 times worse than you, you still have to come and be saved. Watch this. Somebody said, well, we saved. We're Christians all on the line. You might be, but the word of God says, let a man examine himself to see whether or not he be in the faith or not. Do you not know? The Bible speaks of a falling away. I was going to get into that with the prophetic, but it's not time for that yet. So I got to move in the flow of what he gives. The Bible speaks of a falling away. That means those who once were saved, once knew the truth, next thing you know, they backslide or they not even believing anymore. When you read the scriptures, Jesus had many that followed him. But when you get to John chapter 6, you find that those same many, that large crowd, most of them turned back away from Jesus and followed him no more. They could not continue to go on. So the job of the teacher, the preacher, the pastor is to make sure you're staying on the path that God is illuminating for you to stay in his grace and in his righteousness and his freedom. Because the devil, listen to me real good. Listen. If angels who have seen God's face turned away from him, having never sinned, they did not have a sin nature, they weren't born sinners, they were holy angels in heaven, they turned away from God, and now they're demons and fallen angels here on earth, why do we think it's impossible or it can't happen to us? He says, watch, take heed. So we have to make sure we're paying attention to ourselves. We got to make sure we are in the faith. So this is why sometimes God will have you go back over the basics. He'll take you right back to the beginning, the foundations, because some people got the foundation, but you got it built all wrong. You got the name of Jesus, but you got to understand his covenant, who he is, what he came to give you. So he's going to raise up somebody to tell you, and it's up to us to hear. It's really up to us to hear, because one thing about it, on judgment day, God's going to say, well, I sent servants to you. I put the word in your ear. I gave you this person. I gave you that person. I told them to tell you this. So at the end of the day, we are responsible for our destiny. Whether we choose life or we choose death, it's up to us. But God is always going to send life. He's always going to give you a path of life to choose from. But he also said, I set before you two roads, life and death. Choose life. We see that all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Two trees, the tree of life. The other tree, God said, you eat it, you're going to die. The tree of death. I know it's the knowledge of good and evil is the real name of the tree, but we can call it the tree of death because that's exactly what it brought forth. But God already had life there right next to it. So God's always going to give you life and death to choose from, but he's always desiring that we live. So we got to hear the truth. We got to hear the word. Now, John chapter 1, I'm going to go over this again. In verse number 16, it says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. So he's talking about grace multiplying here. Grace for grace. So he's giving you the grace to receive grace. And God, Almighty God, we can't even get his grace on our own. He's saying it's not even of you, or it's for you, but it ain't of you, by you, or about you. It's about his goodness. Watch this. Every ounce of grace you receive, I don't care if you have enough grace that you can see in the spirit from California to Tokyo. He's saying God graced you with that ability. So we can't take none of his glory. Watch this. He said, we have received grace for grace. Okay? It's a gift. So he's giving you grace for grace. It's a multiplication of grace. Grace is so powerful. Watch this. I was giving the analogy last night of oxygen, the atmosphere, how we breathe, how human beings' bodies are made. And I began to think about that, and I just kind of went into a zone, and I was like, God, that's amazing. Every breath. I was listening to a song called I Need You to Breathe, an awesome worship song. And I begin to think about how simple that song was, but how that simple truth is so powerful. We need God to breathe. You know, we truly need him to breathe. It is his air. These are his lungs. And at any moment, he could cut it off. That's why he said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. This is why we get on the line and we say, thank you, Jesus. This is why we go to church and we shout hallelujah. This is why we sing our songs while we're driving down the road or when we're at the restaurant or wherever we're at. We hum a song or a praise to God because that breath that he's given us, that life, that's the breath of life. Hallelujah. And we can't even receive it without him. From the very beginning, it came from him. Watch this. So I think about grace and God's goodness in comparison to how we breathe. And I saw that when you breathe in, just take a moment, do it real quick. One, two, inhale, exhale. That's life. That's life. Watch this. Inhale, exhale. There's a transaction taking place there. Every time you inhale, you're taking in what's necessary and essential for life. You didn't provide that. You just receive it. You didn't provide that oxygen. You receive it. But what I love about God is this. As it's going in, everything that is worthless, everything that is death, darkness, no good, it's not good for you. It's pollution. The carbon dioxide is what comes out when you exhale. So every time we breathe out, something that shouldn't be in us is being released. Where does it go? It goes back into the atmosphere. You'd think with all these billions of people sucking up oxygen daily and putting out carbon dioxide daily, you would think that we would be poisoning the earth just by being here. But what I love about God is he's let us see just through oxygen in the atmosphere that there's more good out there than it is bad. There's more of the good stuff than it is the bad stuff. You're taking in the good and it's forcing out the bad. You can't live off, you know, carbon dioxide. If you get in a closed space where there's only so much oxygen and you keep breathing, after a while, you're going to die off the carbon dioxide that's coming out of you. If you stay, that's why they tell you don't sleep in the car or, you know, different things like that, because you get in a closed-in space where there's only so much oxygen. But you can live for so long in even a closed-in space because there's more oxygen on around you than there is carbon dioxide coming out of you. What am I saying? The same thing applies with sin. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounded much more. I'm going to find that. I believe it's Romans chapter 6. I don't know the exact verse, but I will find it here. Hallelujah. It actually may be chapter 5, at the very end of chapter 5. Having a little trouble with my Bible. We know the enemy tries to. Here we go. Chapter 5. Verse 20, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. In other words, when God gives you a law, when he gave Moses the law, when he gave Israel the law through Moses, that was God's way of letting sin run its course. Because once you label sin, then you can judge sin. See, Adam named all the animals, but God gave him dominion over them. So now he's saying that I'm giving you the law to show you what sin really is. Because you can do a thing ignorantly. It's still sin, but God did not impute it where there was no law. Watch this. Somebody said, well, why come we got to die? Well, because Adam was given a law. It wasn't written in stone. It wasn't written on a tablet or a parchment paper. God spoke to him directly and said, don't you eat from this tree, you're going to die. And he done it anyway and thought he wasn't going to die, but he died. He lived a long time dying. 930 years it took for him to finally kick over and die, but he died. So sometimes the consequences of sin don't catch you right away, but they're going to get you. So we got to come out of sin is what I'm saying. And this is what the grace that we're receiving is for. Grace for grace. Listen to me. Watch this. He says, the law entered that the offense might abound. What that word abound, if you don't already know, it means multiply. It means to multiply. So he's telling you sin is going to multiply. Just like the carbon dioxide we're putting out of our bodies when we breathe in the good stuff. We take the good in and the bad goes out. Well, it's multiplying. Watch this. He said, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So what he's telling you is the grace of God is greater than the sin. He didn't say that sin was going to stay in a small, confined little space and that it's not going to get worse. He's telling you it's going to get worse. The world is going to get worse. You're going to see more and more sin abounding. But the grace of God is abounding even more. Just imagine two trees. One's greater than the other. Well, that's what Adam had, but he chose the lesser of the two. And now that tree's fruit has to run its course throughout humanity. But God says, I got a tree of life. I'm going to let my son hang on a tree called a cross. And if you partake of his fruit, then you will live forever. And the sin that's in you is coming out, but I got something greater to put in you. Just breathe. Inhale, exhale. We're taking in Christ. We're taking in life. Listen, listen, listen. Watch this. He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So what he's telling you is now I've given you something greater that you can step over into. Do you can step out of sin and into grace. See, people want to make grace this thing where you can just keep on sinning. They want to make grace this thing where it's a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. I'm going to say that again. Grace is not a license to sin. Moreover, grace is a lifeline to sinners. Grace is a lifeline to sinners. Somebody says, why are you teaching? This is basic stuff. We want that end time prophetic stuff. You ain't ready for it. I could tell you some stuff that God's been revealing, but he told me don't speak on it yet. Some things it's not even time for. But as we see that sin is still abounding, and it's going to abound, and there's a whole other element called iniquity that must abound because Jesus said it will abound, and the Bible says that the mystery of iniquity is already at work. That when that thing begins to abound and that sin cup begins to overflow and spill over, like we already seen some of it, when it gets to a certain level, to a tipping point, then that's when God's going to begin to release certain prophetic utterances because you're going to need to really, really know your God. You're really already in that point where you need to, but this is why he's teaching us on the foundation. This is why he's speaking to us on the foundational matters because he knows what's coming. And some people are blind to it. Some people are oblivious to it. Some people are argue with the prophets and the preachers, but God speaks and he knows what he's saying. Watch this. He said that where sin abounded, he's not denying that it multiplied. He's not denying the greatness of sin, but he said grace did much more abound. So grace is greater is what he's telling us. So if God gives you something greater, you got a choice. You can receive the greater or you can draw back and dwell in the lesser. This is what a lot of people are doing. Adam did this. He had the tree of life. Let me go to the beginning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. We can break this thing down from the beginning and then bring it up to today. Genesis chapter 2, I believe it's around about verse. Let me find that exact verse I want to go to. Verse number 9. Watch this. This is what the first man did, and this is what the sin nature in you will push you to be like. This is why we got to get the sin out. So I say inhale, exhale. Watch this. That your last breath will be a breath of holiness. Watch this. And we die in the Lord. We want to die in him. Watch this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So every tree God made in the beginning was pleasant to the sight. They all look good and good for food. They all was nutritious. He said, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So you got two trees in the middle of the garden, right smack dab in the middle. One of them he called the tree of life. Notice he said also the tree of life in the midst of the garden. Why would he say also? In other words, you know you got life here too, right? You know, I put this tree here that you don't need to touch, but I already gave you one that you can eat from and live forever. But man chose, we know the story, Adam chose to listen to Eve, who chose to listen to the devil, and they both chose to go against God and eat from the tree that caused death. But God gave them something greater. Life was already present. Life was already present. Somebody going to get delivered off this message. You're going to have to hear it twice. Somebody need to go back and replay this later on and hear what the Spirit is speaking. Watch this. He said, out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Okay? So it wasn't that the food itself caused death. Whatever the type of fruit it was, some people speculated was banana. Some people say it was an apple or a papaya. I believe it was a fig because the fig tree represents a religion. It represents religion. That's what I believe. And I got a few little scripture points on that, but that's a whole other message about the fig tree. And we know Jesus cursed the fig tree that did not have any fruit, just leaves. So I believe the fruit that they ate was a fig, but nevertheless, that's just me. That's just me. We know the fruit they ate. The Bible says that in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God tells them about this tree of knowledge, good and evil. In verse number, same chapter, round about verse 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So all the trees were edible. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So everything God made was good. That tree had real food on it. The fruit on it was real fruit. The fruit did not kill him per se, by itself. It wasn't the element of what he put in his mouth. It was the act of disobedience. Because God has said, if you eat from this tree, I'm specifying this tree, and you eat from it, then you're going to die. That's what he told him. But he already had life right next to it in the middle of the garden. Right, he told him also the tree of knowledge, excuse me, the tree of life also. He put that one first. In other words, you should have looked at this first. He said, verse 9, back to verse 9, he said, Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. It's right in the middle. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So they were right smack dab in the middle together. Man had to walk past this tree or see it from every angle every day. You could see both trees sitting there every day. No matter what part of the garden you was at, it's right in the middle, smack dab in the middle. This is how temptation is. But God already said, I'll put two rows before you. God's going to let you pick. And this is where it gets real tricky, complicated, but you just got to pay attention. When Jesus died on the cross, there was a thief on either side of him. On both sides, there was a thief that was condemned to die, and both of them died. One died rejecting Jesus, and we know he went to hell. We're just going to call it what it is. He was not saved. I don't care how we try to grace it up. Well, the grace of God was he reviled Jesus. He spoke against Jesus, and he did not repent. He died and went to hell. He's burning somewhere in hell. Whatever his name is, we don't know, but he was a thief, and he died. The other man was a thief, and he began to say about Jesus, he said, this man is innocent, blood condemned, but we deserve our punishment. In other words, he acknowledged his wrong. That's for a repentant heart. Then he calls Jesus by the title Lord. He says, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. So he's confessed that Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit gave it to him. But you better believe the Holy Spirit was dealing with that other fella too, but he hardened his heart. So that means some people are going to die denying Jesus, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't say, well, you just wasn't anointed enough. You didn't preach it right. You didn't love him enough. Now, some people are going to make their choice because it's two roads. Adam made a choice. He didn't know no sin. Adam wasn't born a sinner. God made him with his own hands. God breathed the breath of life into this man, and he still chose to go against him. What am I saying? There's two roads. That's why the cross points east and west, north and south. The cross is made a specific shape because we serve a God of all wisdom. Watch this. One man chose the road of life and one man chose the road of death. Cross is the dividing line. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is what we got to preach again. Watch this. We got to show it all throughout the scripture. So here's the beginning. The first man God made, Adam, he's put him here. It says he's got those two trees there, and we know God commanded him not to eat from one of them, and he did anyway, and it caused death to come upon Adam. This is why men die. This is why all human beings must die, because we all came from Adam and Eve. Somewhere we're all connected to that first two people that God put here to procreate and to populate the planet. I don't care how they try to fix it up and doctor it up. The scriptures are plain that Adam was the first man. So there wasn't no whole bunch of people here at that time. It wasn't Adam, Eve, and them. It was Adam and Eve, and then they had children, and a lot of their children weren't named, but certain ones were. The first two born were named. Seth was named. The rest of them weren't named, but they were there populating the earth, having children. But that's what happened. Now, we all come from them in some shape, form, or fashion, and we all got a taste of death. In the physical form, the body's going to have to die, but we don't have to taste in the spiritual death, so we can live through Christ Jesus eternally. Watch this. Grace. I want to deal with grace. So grace was in the garden. There was a tree that could give you life. In other words, life is greater than death, because had Adam never touched the tree that caused death, he'd still be alive today. Some 6,000 years later, he would still be alive, walking, talking, breathing. And we would be hearing a different story about how it went down in the garden. But because he ate from the tree that caused death, in other words, he went to something lesser. He went to something lesser, and he got, you know, he lived 930 years. We're like, wow, that's a long time. I love to live 930 years. Yeah, but you're still going to die. He died. So we have to read about him. We have to talk about him. But he's dead. He's not walking the face of the earth like God intended for him. So after they sinned, God had to surround that tree of life with a flaming sword that nobody could enter in and eat from it anymore. He had to cut it off to where man could not get to the tree of life, because man's not going to live forever in a sinful state, because he can't be redeemed. If you live forever in a sinful state, then you're dying daily forever. And can you imagine what the world would be like if we did not die and yet had a sin nature forever? Can you imagine how corrupt and dark and just look how bad it already is? And we people only live 60, 70, 100 years, 120 at most. And just look at how much corruption is in the world, because sin is abounding. It's multiplying, increasing. But he says, grace will increase more than that. I'm giving you something greater. I'm giving you something greater. That tree of life was so great that God said, I cannot allow man to have it. Not in his sinful state, but I'm gonna show him how to get to it. I'm gonna bring him through my son. I'm gonna bring my son on earth. He's gonna die. He's gonna be that tree of life for you. That if you believe upon him, that if you partake of his spirit, then you're gonna live forever. But it's gonna start on the inside while the outside is steady dying. I got this thing fixed so that you can live forever. But the inward man is now a new person. Thus, the Bible says we must be born again. So now you're born new, regenerated inside. The outward still decaying and dying, but the inner is being brought to a newness of life that's renewed and refreshed every day, regenerated, washed by the Holy Ghost every day. If you see defilement in your spirit, then you got to begin to examine, am I really saved? Do I really know Jesus? Is my heart really right? Check your love. Ask yourself these questions. Look at Galatians 5 and 23 sometime. Write it down. Galatians 5, 23. Go through that list of fruit there and see, are you really in the tree of life? The tree of life. Are you bearing the fruits there? I know we might struggle with some of it. We might not be as patient or long-suffering as we need to be. We might not, have as much self-control and temperance. But you should see those things working in your life and abounding and growing. You should see it increasing. Not, I'm still just as mean as I was 12 years ago. I'm still hateful. I'm still walking in the spirit of jealousy. I'm still operating in the wrong way, the wrong mindset. You should not be looking at it that way. It should be that you see yourself in a new light. Now, this message kind of took a whole other turn, but I'm going to get back to this grace thing. Back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We got to be fruitful. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 16, is where I left off at. It says, of his fullness have we received. His fullness, that grace is his fullness. It's just like, you look how big the atmosphere is and how small your human body is and how much oxygen there is to just take in and receive. Breathe in, breathe out. He's saying we receive grace for grace. It's going to take grace to come in, and it's going to take grace for all the evil that's got to be purged out of you. Watch this, because you can't live off carbon dioxide. You got to live off the air you breathe. God is the air we breathe. That's why they sing the songs. This is the air I breathe. We sing those songs, but your holy presence, we sing those things, but it means something. God gave these people revelation of who he really is. The first thing he gave man was what? The breath of life. So this stuff is real. Eternal life is real. He's talking to us about it because it's not something we just religiously talk about. It's real. We got to guard it with all of our heart. All of our being, we've got to be for real about this thing. I don't care what trials the enemy brings against you. I don't care how they don't like you. I don't care how you suffer. I don't care how they talk about you, misunderstand you. I don't care how you suffer lack or you suffer this. Or I don't care how good your life may seem. It doesn't matter. I don't care how comfortable it may be. It doesn't matter. All these things, the main thing is eternal life. That's the main focus. He's to seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added. So the only thing we need to focus on is God's kingdom. And it's not the things we can point at. It's not the things we can take pictures of. The kingdom is invisible. God is invisible. His kingdom is invisible, but he's real. That air you breathe, you don't see it, but you know it's there. You get suffocated, you'll find out just how real that air is. So God is just as real. Watch this. Let me get into the scripture real quick because I'm running out of time. Verse 16, he says, of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Grace for grace. He's giving you grace. It's a multiplication, an abounding of grace. For the law was given by Moses. Moses gave us the law, told you what sin really was, because people was doing it up to that point, and a lot of people were doing it out of just straight sin nature and ignorance. But at least where there's a law, now you know better. So God is saying, now it's written in stone, now you know. And he began to deal with a particular people because he wanted to show forth how holy he really is. Although God would strive with man, in his sinful state. God has never been okay with sin. God told Noah, he said, I'm not going to strive with man always. And he cut his years short. Man was living 900-something years up to that point. When God spoke to Noah, he started cutting it to where the most they would get is 120 years. He told him. He said, man, days will be 70 years by reason of strength, 80 years, and maybe 120. So he cut it short and said, I'm not going to strive with man always. In other words, God will work with you. He'll strive with you to get you to see that you're wrong. That's why man have a conscience built into him. You'll know when you tell that lie. You know when you lust after somebody's spouse. You know when you hate on somebody. You know because your conscience is now telling you you're on your way to hell. What you did was evil. What you did was wrong. But then he said, nah, I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to put it in writing. So it won't be said that God said when he didn't say, I'm going to show you what I said. Go to the book. Go to what I wrote. Watch this. And have a Holy Ghost understanding of it. Watch this. He says in verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. So God raised up Moses, the prophet. He gave the people of Israel the law. Tell them what's right from wrong. That's what the law was. Right? But grace, we dealt with how great grace is. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The element we don't hear preached through Jesus Christ in the body of Christ is the truth. We get a lot of grace, and we should because it's greater than the sin. The grace issue is greater than the sin issue. Sin will multiply, he says, but grace is bigger. Imagine stepping out of a pool into an ocean. You know, the pool is bigger than you. The water force is enough to drown you, yet that's how great sin is compared to your one human body. But he says, my grace is like an ocean. Watch this. But the thing that pulls us out of grace and back into sin time and time again, and we got to come back and be washed, all over and over and again, is the fact that we're missing that ingredient of truth. Because when you know truth, he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The essence of God's spirit is freedom. Watch this. The essence of knowing his spirit is freedom. Freedom. So he's going to bring you out of sin and into something greater. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That is the covenant. It's not just a grace covenant. Because the moment you forsake truth, the moment you don't receive the truth, then you suck right back into the lesser. You suck right back into the world of sin. And he talks about the deceitfulness of sin in the writings of Thessalonians. Paul writes about the deceitfulness of sin hardening men's hearts. And then they don't love the truth. And this is why the falling away takes place. This is why the Antichrist is going to come, because there's not enough truth. And when people don't love the truth, then the only thing left is a lie. You're either in the light or the dark. You're in the truth or the lie. You're in the tree of knowledge, which is death, or you're in the tree of life. You're in Christ or you're in the world. You're in the righteousness of God or you're in the righteousness of religion, which is death. There's no in-between states. You're either hot or cold. It's either black or white. It's either right or wrong. It's that simple. So this is why preachers like myself or others, we preach the gospel, and people say, oh, it's just harsh. No, the truth is the truth. Listen, the grace of God is beautiful, and you can't even – the truth – let me tell you something. The truth alone, you can't handle it. None of us. We need his grace because we're going to fall sometimes. We've all fallen short already just by being born. You're born by default a sinner. So the moment you came out the womb, you was already falling short. You was born into a fallen nature. He says, I give grace for that, and I give grace for grace. So he's given enough grace to bring you – out of the lie, back to the truth. Because if we be honest, majority of the time we step out of the truth. And we get into our own ideologies. We get into religion. We get into falsehood and what the church teaches. But this Bible is correct. The Holy Spirit will teach you the Bible. Listen, at some point, majority of you listening today should get to a point where you don't need this ministry that I'm bringing forth. I should work myself out of a job, or there should be somebody replacing you, just like in a classroom setting. You get your lessons, and then next year there's a new set of people sitting in those seats getting the same lesson you got. But we can't get to where we're ever learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth. So the truth is what's going to make us free. So that's the element of grace and truth, the covenant. Grace and truth. He tells you plainly, Moses brought the law. We know the old covenant was law-based covenant. Right. And it had three distinct values to the law. Watch this. There was the ceremonial law. Okay? There was the sacrificial laws, and then there was the moral law. When the Bible says that Jesus fulfilled all the law, he fulfilled the ceremonial parts of the priesthood. So that's why we don't have to keep the Sabbath. If you keep the Sabbath, then you'll be blessed for resting. But there's no thing that you got to do this or you're not going to heaven. No, unless the Lord himself tell you personally to do it, then it's not a law. We're not bound to that. You know, certain things under the law as far as ceremonial. Jesus fulfilled that. He's the new priest of this covenant. He's the high priest. Okay? The sacrificial, you don't have to go and kill a lamb or a red heifer or any kind of animal. You don't need to offer turtle doves. None of that for sacrifices for sin. You don't have to. Jesus is that sacrifice that once for all. But then the moral part of the law, well, that's always been. God's always had a righteous standard, and this is what he wants to write on our heart. This is why certain things of the Old Testament do still apply. You know, the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. Well, God still, in the Spirit, is telling you, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal, etc. And some people get it mixed up because they don't understand what's ceremonial, what's sacrificial, and what's part of the moral law of God. So this is why he says, I'll give you teachers. This is why I have the job, that at some point you will get to know him in a way that you don't have to listen to me. The Holy Spirit will make it plain to you to point you will be teaching and discipling, et cetera, because we're supposed to abound. Watch this. Watch this. The grace of God is so amazing. It's so amazing. We come in through grace on one side of the cross, but we come out on the other side of the cross. This is an analogy. On the side of grace is all sinners, from the least to the greatest, from the one that just told a little lie and they're pretty good people to the Hitlers of society, still a sinner. And the hell is just as hot for one as it is for the other. But that grace says, I'll reach all the way to the most demonic, darkest, evilest person if they'll accept this grace. But on the other side is truth. And truth is saying, this is the way of holiness. You got to walk in it. So what it's doing is God is bringing you from one end where you were to where you ought to be. Because had it not been for us not being where we ought to be, there would be no need for the sacrifice. There would be no need for Jesus to have died. But since we were sinners, he says, I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to be the propitiation for your sin. I got a couple more minutes here, and I'm going to end this. But the grace of God, go with me to James chapter 4, I believe it is. James chapter 4. I didn't really get to touch on half of what I wanted to because this message took a different turn, but I want to deal with something here. James chapter 4, verse 5, it says, do ye think that the scripture says in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And there's a question mark here. He's saying, do you think it's in vain that the scriptures tell you that the spirit in you lusts to envy? He says us. So he's talking to the believers, to all of us. When he writes this, this Bible wasn't written for the unbelievers. All the stuff he's saying you shouldn't do was God's people he was talking to. So he's always trying to get us to understand him a little bit better, to walk in his ways a little bit better, because he don't like sin. If you go up a few verses, it tells you, you know, friendship with the world is to be an enemy of God. So he really has never liked sin, but through his grace, he says, I can deal with you sinners. I'll strive with you because I'm trying to bring you into a new birth. Watch this. He says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? There's a lust, a strong desire to envy in the human spirit. That's human spirit. It's part of that sin nature. He's telling you right here. He says, do you think it's in vain? It's a question mark. Now he's saying spirit that's in us. He's not talking about the spirit of God right here. Anytime Paul writes about the spirit of God, there's a capital S on there. If you read the King James Version of the Bible, here is a lowercase s. He's talking about the human spirit. That's a human problem. It started all the way back when religion was first started. Cain envied Abel and killed him. That was the first man born. First man born. Adam wasn't born. He was made. Cain is the first seed born, and he's got that spirit of envy, and he kills because there's something about sin, that sin nature, and it started in that garden, and it has moved on and manifested itself in various ways. Watch this. He says, but He giveth more grace. God gives grace because he knows that human nature is wicked. He knows that we will hate in our hearts. We will envy in our hearts. We will lie in our hearts. That's why he even speaks in Psalms 15. He says, speak the truth in your heart. We've got to get the word down in us to take all this other stuff out. Just like the oxygen goes in and the carbon dioxide comes out. We got to breathe in. Inhale. Exhale. That's grace for grace. Watch this. He says, but he gives more grace. Here he's showing you the multiplication of grace. God says, I can see that your human spirit is greedy and lustful towards envy, and which leads to pride, and which leads to murder, which leads to hatred. All these spirits are connected, and it weaves its way into our human nature. And we've got to learn how to combat these things and be real about our human nature. He says, but he giveth more grace. There's the grace right here. Wherefore, he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. This is how we get more grace, because there's a certain level of grace. It's all about God, the beginning of your salvation. It's all about God. It's his goodness. It's what that whole beginning of this message was about. God brings you through his grace. But here he's talking to believers. He's talking to believers in the book of James. Watch what he says. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So here's how you get more grace. Humble yourself. As we begin to humble ourselves, the more humble, you want to know how people flourish in certain things in life. The key is humility. The more humble people are going to get more favor from God. I'm not talking about man's favor. We're talking about grace. We're talking about God right here. Just watch this. It says, but he gives more grace unto the humble. Then he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the only thing we need to resist is the devil. We don't want to resist God because God will resist us in our pride. But when we begin to humble ourselves, God says, now I'm going to give you some more grace. I'm going to give you grace to come out of what you was in last night or earlier today, or what you was in last week, last year, whatever it was you was in. He said, I'll give you the grace to come out of it, and I'll show you some more of my truth. You want to see more truth? It starts with grace. You want greater revelation? It starts with grace. So he said, I'll give you enough to start out with. I'll give you enough. Listen, we're not like the thief on the cross in this respect. We're not going to be dead in the next few minutes. Hopefully, none of us listening will. So he didn't have a chance to get into the full extent of this. But he did get saved, and it was probably best for him to go on and, you know, die right after being saved. That's a beautiful thing. But for you and I to have to live, there's always a chance that we could slide back into that old cesspool of sin and need God to bring us out again. There's always a chance that we could fall back because, we're living in dangerous times. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves and boasters and proud and blasphemers. So all that stuff is the increase or the abounding of sin. But God is giving us truth because he wants us to get more grace. So the truth today is we got to humble ourselves, resist the devil. We got to humble ourselves, submit to God, resist the devil. Okay? That devil will put it in your mind. They think this, or they said that, or this, that, I'm this, I'm that. He'll put that in your mind. You should do this. You should sneak over here and take a little of that. You should talk about that. You should, no, you got to resist the devil. But it comes from a place of humility, submitting to God. So now we're into the talking to the saints. We need not only grace, but the covenant is what? Grace and truth. He ties them together for a reason. He ties them together for a reason because you got to have both ingredients. This is God's book I'm telling you this from. This is not my thought. This is not my ministry, my thought process, my way of delivering it. This is what he wants you to know. He did not just give you grace. And he says next grace is coming coupled with truth. You take one or the other. This is why some people follow Jesus. And then later on, they turn from Jesus and follow him no more. Do you not know history repeats itself? Do you not know in the last days, we're going to see a falling away? It's not going to look like a falling away because listen to me real good and I'm going to be done. The Antichrist spirit and the false church are very religious. So the falling away is not going to look like the falling away because religious people still going to do church. They still going to shout. They still going to use his name. But then you got to recognize the presence of God. You got to recognize the truth of God. We got to recognize what's what. Because when the Antichrist comes, he's going to come with religion, with miracles and signs and all those things. This is why we see people chasing after prophets and chasing signs and sign seekers. The Lord is saying, your adulterous and wicked generation seeks for a sign. But we got to seek for to know him in his truth. And it starts with his grace. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that as we humble ourselves, Lord God, I start first. Lord, forgive me. If in any way I've taken any of your glory, Lord God, expose it, rebuke it, and rebuild me in the righteousness of God. We're nothing but clay. Thou art the potter. We are the clay. And Father, we only want for you to be glorified. Hallelujah.
Forgive me, Lord.
So the higher you take us, Lord God,
anything.
The higher you take us, the more glory is for you, Lord God. The more that you bless us, Lord, the more glory is for you, Lord God. Nothing we have that we did not receive, down to the oxygen that we breathe, it is
glory.
Of you, Lord God. So we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. We ask that you would just deliver us from ourselves,
deliver
from our wicked human nature. Deliver us from evil speaking,
deliver
evil
me.
Thoughts. In the name of Jesus.
Ha.
Yes, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
Is the highest praise. If you need prayer, dial one. If you have something you just want to share off of this dynamic word today, covenant, grace, truth, how they all come together in one. High five, bro.
To God be the praise. Lord, we all need you, Lord God, as the time is
Minister Terry
ticking.
Is live on Exalting mm-hmm. Jesus.
Good afternoon, family. Good afternoon, Sir Ryan, Minister Sir Ryan, Pastor E, and the listeners. Awesome word, awesome word. That's amazing because I was reading in the book of Romans today on that grace, and you broke it down. God bless you. Love you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
Evangelist Virginia Valentine, you're live on Exalting Jesus.
Yes. Good afternoon, man of God. And good afternoon,
good afternoon.
To you, Minister Sarai. Ooh.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, Jesus. Ooh.
What a word.
Oh, what a word. An awesome word. An awesome word, man of God. An awesome word to the sister Ryan. What a word. What a word. What a word. The covenant, grace, and truth. And when you talked about grace, you talked about grace. The law was given to Moses, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, it tells us that we're New Testament saints. We're New Testament saints. We're not under the law anymore. We're not under the law of Moses. What a word, but we're under grace.
Hey.
And I thank God for grace, because in Ephesians 2 and 8 tells me that I was saved by grace through faith. I have been saved through grace by faith. We all, as Christians, been saved by grace through faith. What an awesome word. You have preached this day, and you flowed with the Holy Ghost. And I love it, hey, Jesus, when you preach like that, and you preach by the Holy Ghost, you were flowing. You were flowing, man of God. And you continue to preach that word like that. You continue to preach Jesus. Nothing else but Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I love you, Minister Sarai. You keep doing what God called you to do. God ain't through with you yet. I say,
yeah.
God is not through with you yet. And I love you.
Amen.
And it's all Jesus. That's in the Jesus. That's God. Grace. Minister, Pastor E, listen at that. Grace. All of those who was listening today, grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'm so excited. I'm blessed this day. I've been blessed. I've been truly blessed. And when you talk about being born in sin, we was born in sin. We was shaped
mm-hmm.
in iniquity. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But thank God for his grace. You make me want to preach. So I'm like, Pastor, you make me want to preach. Grace. amazing. So amazing. I got tears running down my face, man of God. Minister Ryan, awesome man of God.
Mm-hmm.
God has surely called you, ordained you, and anointed you, and appointed you to break forth his word. And don't you swerve from the left or to the right. Don't turn away from what God got you doing. Oh, Jesus. I'm lifting my hands right now. Thank God for grace. Thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you for this word.
Thank you, awesome word.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All the praise belongs to you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You get all the glory, God. Thank you.
All the glory go to God. All honor, glory go to God. But God use you this day.
Yes, amen.
God use you this day. Oh, Jesus. He really ministered to you. He spoke through you. You are a vessel. Used by God. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank God for this airway. Thank God for this now network. Thank you for P2P Ministry. Thank you for the broadcast radio. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's so many people. Don't go to church. Let me say this, and I'm through. So many people do not go to church. And the only way they're going to hear this word is through the word radio, through the broadcast. And so many people have listened to you today. And they've been truly blessed. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Anyone else, dial one
hallelujah.
And come on into the conversation.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Jesus.
I'll throw you into the bus because I know your number.
Oh, Jesus.
No, amen. I'm just going to leave it at that. God bless you, woman of God.
Bless you, man of God.
Listen, every Friday at 12 noon, Evangelist Virginia Valentine with 52 Weeks of Love, 12 noon Pacific, 2 p.m. Central,
yes.
Her time zone, 3 p.m. Eastern time zone. Listen in. It's a mighty word going forth. Oh, a mighty worship, a mighty prophetic word to hit the airwaves. Listen in on Fridays.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, man of God.
You're welcome. Well, that's no one else is responding. Minister Sarai, you want to go ahead and pray us out or any closing comments?
No, I've said what I'm done. To God be the praise. Thank you all for the encouragement. I know that there are people that listen that never press one, and that's okay. I'm not in this for your responses, but I want you all to know we're praying for you, and may the Lord just continue to bless each one of you that listen. May he bless your family. May he give you life and that more abundantly, and that you will just know Jesus in a greater way. Hallelujah. And that your purpose will be found in this season through your relationship with Christ, that he will speak to you directly in your ear. Those that have a faith to believe that God will speak to them, his voice is available to you beyond the preacher. So may God bless you, cover you, keep you, and stay humble before God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.